agenda for the Plain City Council regular meeting Wednesday, February 10th, 2010, is called to order at 6:08 p.m.
Roll call and establish a quorum, please. Mr. Davis, Assistant Patty Morgan.
City Recorder Luana Demidow.
City Attorney Jeremy Green.
Councilor Dominic.
Mayor Kenny Shields. Councilor Barton Fletcher.
Councilor Douglas Ward.
Councilor Don Banner.
Thank you. We have all staff and councils present. Proceed meeting. I'll go ahead and lead the Pledge of Allegiance.
The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Next item is four added agenda items that we have to provide. And that is, I believe this email was forwarded to all of the councilors the other day. It's kind of a follow-up of our visit with Kathy Jordan, the range rider. And he said that he was talking with big Oregon cities officials and see if they can come up with some ideas on what kind of assistance we might need or how to help us look into finding out what our next, what type of increased staffing we might need. Anyway, she said that she could put together a proposal for us to sort of do some research and kind of find out just how it is that they think could help us and give us some recommendations and such. And obviously it costs nothing to get a proposal, so if any of the staff would like to, or if the council would like to move forward and go ahead and meet us such a proposal. I don't have the email in front of me.
I didn't think that.
I'm sure it was for us. That was the email that said was actually something else, I think. But anyway, the question is, would we like the League of Oregon Cities to put together a proposal to let us know what it would cost for them to do some research and look into what our needs are as a still startup city. Help us figure out what we're missing and what next steps to be. That was a suggestion, if you remember, that Roger Jordan had when he was here.
I was just going to use
it. All right, well, that's too bad. We didn't get that. Okay. Well, we have two counselors, so I would like to go ahead and have Jenny Messner with League of Oregon Cities put together a proposal for us. I'm all for it. It costs nothing to get a proposal.
I'm for it, too.
All right. Is that all we need is just a consensus on that? You got that, Patty?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so.
Is that an added agenda item, or was that it?
I moved right on into it, didn't I? That was supposed to be an added agenda item. I'm awake here.
Well, being how it's done.
Well, it's done now, so not tabled. It's an added agenda item under number four.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Sounds good to me.
Sorry about that. I have nothing else to add. Anyone else have anything?
No.
Well, that's kind of what you're all looking at, kind of, so it's a great job. Okay, we'll move on to item number five, consent agenda. Corrections or concerns on any of that with the past consent agenda?
You're talking about a few minutes of consent agenda.
Anything on the consent agenda? Okay, we'll start with 5A. Does anyone have anything on the...
I have a very minor correction thing on the minutes. Any January 29th, last page. It says adjourned. Motion made by Councilman McAfee and seconded by Councilman Baylor to adjourn. And I voted yes. I wasn't here. I would have been excused to have adjourned. I would have voted yes, but I wasn't here to vote. I know that's kind of trivial, but I wasn't there, so I'm there. So we can. That is correct.
Okay. That's a correction made. Thank you, Councilor Wood.
Okay, the same meeting, 18 minutes, January 29th, the last page, 8. On the last paragraph before adjourn. The fifth line in, the council had a consensus to hold off on creating the city manager job description and take a step back. I believe that there was not a consensus to the, I said that I was not in agreement on taking a step back, but taking a step in a new direction.
Okay, we can read it that way. So. Everyone get that?
Yes.
Sit with your connection. Okay, does anyone have anything else?
The January 27th meeting minutes on page 12. That was the discussion on, the seventh line in, it said, Councilor McAfee stated in her opinion it was not the charge of the utility committee. And that's not my opinion, that was, that's a matter of fact.
So just strike the words in her opinion, that what you're asking? Okay. Is everyone good with that? Anything else? All right, are there any comments on item 5B, bills and invoices? You will see that there has been a elected item. So we need to remove that journey and talk about it later since it's...
The city council's had an opportunity to review it. There's no need to remove it.
Okay. Has everyone had an opportunity to make a comparison between the original one and the corrected one?
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay with it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, then, we have to entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda with the minor corrections to the two sets of minutes as needed.
I shall move. Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Brenner, yes. Duffy Ward, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Brenner, yes.
Motion passed unanimously. Thank you. All right, move on to agenda item number six, presentation from the Schutz Public Library. Colleen Gaffin and Todd Dunbar. Sure, you'll probably need this.
I promise not to say. Well, thank you all for having us here. I'm Todd Dunbar, the director of the Schutz Public Library. Mainly, I wanted to come here to share with you the fact that we are a cohesive community. Share the positive fact of what we do here in the community. So, I'm going to share it briefly because I know you have a lot to tell. I started coming out to Ohio in 1999 as a traveling children's librarian. And I've been a part of the library since then, and getting us from a small building with no air conditioning to the wonderful facility they have now has been a pleasure. And by doing that, it was great working with all the people in the community of Ohio. So I'm really excited with the fact that you have a city now. So it's nice for us to come and present that. What I wanted to do was just kind of give you an idea of some of the trends we have going on right now in the libraries and things that are going on in your community. So I will hand this over to Colleen, and she will give you an idea. Colleen is our branch manager.
I'm probably not going to use this because I work with teams every day, so I can yell. My name is Colleen Galvin. I'm the new manager of Brookline Public Library. And some of the things that we're doing right now are we're working, of course, with team programming every day, especially on early Wednesdays, because our library becomes much like a community center during that time. I just recently today had a laptop lab where we had over about 20 kids using laptops to check through MySpace, to do some homework, do a lot of social networking, and just to talk. So those are some of the things that we do. We do a lot of programming to educate and entertain teens. But also, our adult programming this year was up by 40%. We also go into the schools. We had over 65 school visits in the 08-09 school year. We go into alternative schools like the JRJ, the Catholic Sisters School. They are one of the most receptive schools that we go to. And in addition to actually helping teens in our library inside the walls of our library, we're also working with LCAT, the Community Action Team, toward creating a team for everybody. I think we're going to do a little push on February 16th. We're having the open forum for discussing the teen center over at the high school. So those are pretty much our talking points right now, what we're doing at the library. But if you guys have any questions, I'd be more than happy to take them about what's going on in the library.
Yeah. If you have a question, I just want to comment on you. I mean, this is the best library system I have ever been associated with. I just can't tell you how wonderful I think you guys are. I've gone there and looked for like obscure books and have been so helpful with people that, you know, gotten them from all over the place and you know, gotten them to me and here to find them. I can't believe it. It's just great. I think you guys just do a wonderful job. Yeah. I think that's great. I think some people don't realize that we're part of a really big library and find one part of that. So you can get those from Ben, Redmond, wherever you need to go.
Even so, we were even so, we were looking for a research thing. They were even willing to pay money if you don't get something from way to hell on our way. And I said, no, you ought to feel guilty. I'm going to spend $50 to get the book. But, I mean, they were willing to do it, and I was dumbfounded at how helpful you are there, and you know, they all did a great job.
And so, if you have any comments on that, that's better. Thanks so much. No, you feel we want to be a very active part of this community, and I think we already are, and we just kind of wanted to highlight that today. So we really appreciate your time.
Councilors, any comments? We have another.
I just wanted to say, I'm going to go to the website.
Well, if you're the first person who designed that, yes.
You're a lot of help with the project.
Yeah, Tony, Duval from the Lehigh Park and Recreation District Board. And I just want to expand a little bit on our February 16th meeting, which is a week from yesterday. So the Park District, in coordination with the library and the school system, is working on having a community meeting to bring everybody together to see how big we can dream, basically, in our White School Park building and the facility that's ground around it. So it's a team lounge project, but it's also finishing that building, putting windows in it, maybe putting some other office space inside there. We don't plan on cutting out the gym area. We need that gym space as a full space, so that's one of the concepts. But it's also about paving around outside. And this isn't support of the kids, but it's also in support of everything that we can do with that. So it's the Park District, the library, the school system, and the community coming together for that one. Well, we'll probably end up getting grants, asking for grants, but also having to come up with some capital campaign money too. So it's a big project. That's next Tuesday. Thank you.
Thanks for staying.
Well, thank you. Thanks for being here. We always like to hear good things.
Great, thank you.
All right, this brings us to, this brings us to the time on our agenda to hold our public hearing on the City of Lehigh's Comprehensive Land Use Plan and Urban Growth Boundary. We have been holding public meetings throughout the past year or so, and the plan is a compilation of public comments and other state requirements. This land use process is a legislative process. There can be pre-hearing contact between citizens and the decision makers on legislative matters. That is, ex parte contact is not a concern. Decision makers are seeking all the input they can get on the issues in order to make a reasonable decision on the proposed plan. Tonight, we will proceed as follows. First, we will open the public hearing and have a brief staff report from project consultants Deborah McMahon and James Lewis. Then we will receive testimony and respond to questions from the public. We will then close the oral portion of the public hearing and leave the record open for 7 days for any written comments. Can everyone hear me okay? After the public hearing, the council will deliberate amongst ourselves and ask questions of staff and consultants if necessary. We will also determine next steps in the comprehensive plan adoption process, which will include the future adoption ordinance, the future ordinance adoption process. Now we will open the public hearing at 6:26 p.m. Deborah and James, you may proceed with the staff report, please.
Good evening. Thank you for that introduction. It is a great lead in to what we have been doing for the past year. And everything that we do in the creation of the comprehensive plan is a distillation of the comments and interaction that we had with the community throughout the past year. In addition to citizen meetings, public outreach, open houses, and a variety of other meetings with technical advisory committees. And I should add it for a second, technical advisory committee, or TAC, includes people from the community who represent businesses or special interests or have technical expertise that can help us get information about what should go into the plan. So we talk with UDOT, we talk with the Water and Sewer District, we talk with Deschutes County, we talk with other agencies that have technical information that we need to get in order to have a complete plan.
know, we've gone through the process. We've presented information to the planning commission and had the planning commission examine all of the data. And that's helped us refine the comprehensive plan. And then we take those comments, which also includes some comments, and further refine the chapters that you have before you. In our work session with you just a couple of weeks ago, several things were identified that also needed to be put into the plan or refined, and we've done that. And so the memo and the exhibits that you have in your packet tonight identify those issues. And then, since we've met, we've also received other information that will help refine the plan as we continue through this process. The meeting we have before you tonight is to review what we've done so far, identify the things that are yet to be done, and set out the next steps. And our hope is after tonight, we can get to a first reading of an ordinance adopting the comprehensive plan with all the revisions that are needed, and move to a joint meeting, which is required by the terms of the grant, and then after the Chief County's completed its process, we will have a complete document to send to the state. Then the state will review it, and then if they have any comments or revisions, we'll find out about that. We'll make those revisions, and when that's done, the state will acknowledge our plan, and you will have your first comprehensive plan for the plan. So tonight I wanted to talk just about a few things. This evening we received some revisions from the Lapine Special Sewer District, and there is information that we will use to modify the plan. We also have a sign-up sheet for when people come up, and you'll have public testimony about that issue. And we're happy to make those changes. Keep in mind, we've been working on this for about a year. As new information comes in or revisions need to be made, we're willing to do them. The theme of the plan starts around a very basic concept that in order to have a complete community, a healthy and sustainable community, you have to look at the components that you have today and identify the components that are missing. And the easiest thing that we found through the system process was to look at the community as three distinct neighborhoods. Together, those three neighborhoods make up what we call a complete community. And each of those neighborhoods that you see on the map, neighborhood one is at the top, and the middle is neighborhood two, and at the bottom is neighborhood three. Each of those neighborhoods have some employment, some commercial, some industrial. They have residential, open space, but in some places it's not the correct amounts to be sustainable for each neighborhood. We want to be able to have children be able to walk to school if possible. We want parents to be able to pick up a gallon of milk without having to drive a long distance to the commercial area. We want to have enough open space to make sure that the livability characteristics that citizens identify for us in the process come to fruition. So there are various components that need to occur in each neighborhood. And you'll see on the comprehensive plan map a look out to the future for 20 years that identifies how we're going to get those neighborhoods complete. And again, when those visions are realized, you will have a complete community. So we look out 20 years because that's what state law says we have to do. But in many cases, this sets the pattern for a much longer view. And what you find in the comprehensive plan is citizen comments about livability and how we match up with state law. Everything we have to do to meet all of the terms that the Department of Land Conservation and Development requires us to do. So it's a 137-page document. In some cases, it's really good nighttime reading. But it covers all of the things that are meant to be covered when you're trying to take a new city and look forward 20 years. Some of the key items I want to bring to your attention tonight are that we've made changes to the map. There will be future refinements that do not change the overall intent of the map. But as we identify small pieces that need to be a different color or something that needs to be identified more clearly, we will make those changes all the way through to adoption. We want to point out that the city limits is being proposed as the urban growth boundary, and we feel that that is critical to understand. The city needs to have control over its own lands, and when we look out 20 years, if the line is different than the existing city limits, there could be confusion. And so it's really important to note that urban growth boundary was selected as the same line as the city limits for that very reason, to make sure that there's cohesion in what the city plans to do, and that in terms of jurisdiction, there's one jurisdiction and not two. Since your last meeting, we have had information come through from the Department of Environmental Quality. They have presented a map showing where water sources are and what the influence area is to those water sources. And we will send that out as part of an appendix to go with this comprehensive plan. ODOT has given us a map showing further refinement of the Wikiup interchange area, and so we'll have our map reflect that as well. So in this, the area that you see at the north that's in the circle, that is vague through the process, and ODOT has just given us a further refinement, and so we want that. Let's see. Oh, at the last council meeting, there was a really good discussion about what shall means. And what position does that put the city council in when it comes down to financial responsibility? And you will find that in the very first part of the comprehensive plan, we have put in language that talks about how shall is an aspirational goal, and we'd like to do those things, but if the city council does not have money to do those things cannot be realized. That's an important feature. Councilor Garland talked about that at the last meeting, and it's valuable, and so that is now in the plan. Let's see.
I think you can use lots.
I can use lots.
Oh, okay. For the record, James Lewis. A couple things just to help the text of the document, then I'm just going to go into the very good sent to you. There's Deborah touched upon the document's 137 pages. And just like to remind everybody that it is an all-encompassing document in terms of goals and policies and directions that wants to move. But in that chapter, before we get to the goals and policies, that data that you're reading there is intended to serve as a summary of a much bigger documents that are listed in the appendices. So where we refer to, for example, the Parks and Recreation District's comprehensive plan, there are pieces out of there so that the average citizen can look at this document, they can read through the chapters, they know some background information, they know how you got to the goals and policies that you will eventually adopt for each one of those chapters in terms of the comprehensive plan goals. So that's kind of the way the document was put together. It could have been much longer and it could have been much shorter, depending on how much was pulled from those resource documents and put into the comprehensive plan. With that, I guess I jump into one of the memorandums that I sent to you with an attachment was proposed findings. Those findings are the actual legal findings. That's the rationale that needs to be provided to the state as to why and how the comprehensive plan, the urban growth boundary, and the comprehensive plan map meet the statewide or fulfill the statewide planning goals. So we go through in that document with some background, we go through each one of the statewide planning goals and tell how the city will define through its comprehensive planning documents will comply with statewide planning goals. The second memorandum that I sent to you lists all of the changes that we discussed at your work session 2 weeks ago. Yes, 2 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago. Time goes too fast. And this goes recommendations for changes and additions and amendments that were that we discussed that were recommended by the Planning Commission. What we have attached to that is Exhibit A, is the actual language that went into the draft comprehensive plan to address each one of those items listed in the memorandum. So the way that it works is we have a draft, one of two drafts, but a public review draft was put out by the kind of review to the end of last summer. This Exhibit A is the changes that were incorporated into that document. And what we have in the web page today, it's the most recent, I think, in front of you, public review draft, is the draft from last summer with Exhibit A. But the majority of those changes are in this document, so that instead of having to weave through 137 pages, you were able to see exactly how and what was included in that news draft to address the Planning Commission's recommendation. So we try to simplify the reading down to, I think it's 8 or 9 pages, 10 pages versus 137. so with that. With that, I think we're both being friends.
I just have one question. And of course, we'll be answering any questions that come up during the public process. One thing that came up in our meetings with DLCD representatives, and you all know that State of Oregon has a central Oregon DLCD representative that we work with to make sure that we're on track with state goals and policies and what's happening in the future. And one thing that was brought to our attention is that the world's turning towards looking at alternate energy, what we can do to be more sustainable and use less energy or find ways to reduce energy. And so we have tweaked various areas in the comprehensive plan so that in terms of economic development, the city of La Pine can be open and receptive to the energy producing activities like solar or biomass plants that are appropriate for La Pine. So the door is open to having those things being further evaluated, and it doesn't make any promises, but it makes sure that as the world is looking to renewable energy conservation and solar, what can we do as a community if those opportunities come up? And because La Pine has quite a bit of land inside their city limits, there may be opportunities to have mixed uses on properties until that property is needed for its future final use. A good example is the land that will be transferred to the city, or can be hopefully, next to the sewage treatment plant, called after the Olympic parcel. And on the map, you'll see it's in the olive color. If that isn't needed for sewer immediately, would there be opportunities there to use that for solar or energy generation? So those are the kinds of things that we learned from DLCD that we need to be mindful of. And language has been inserted in the plan so that you, as a city, have ultimate flexibility, but you still have control.
I have nothing else unless you have questions of us.
Should we just stay here? If I want to go back, that we can interrupt. First of all, I'd like to say thank you for the staff report. And yes, thank you for the offer to stay right there. I think you're probably going to be asked quite a few questions. All right, now we'll take public comments and questions. All persons who have comments or questions on the comprehensive plan are asked to approach the council, come on up to the table here, please, and raise your hand to be called on. Come up to the table and give your name for the record, and we'll take your comments and respond to your questions. We ask that you please limit your comments and questions to 3 minutes. Don't let that panic you. We can have flexibility if it looks like we have time to spare. So, all right.
I'm President of the Commission.
Well, then,
I'm going to just take this over there.
Yeah.
It's
just
going really loud. We found in the comprehensive plan, I'll bring one of these to you. We found several things wrong with having to do with the water and the sewer inspection. And I don't want to go over everything because it's 3 pages long, and unfortunately I was unable to give it to the commissioner before now because it's today. But it's really nice that this, like, the water services are private businesses. They're not owned by the residents. It's a big deal. So you just need to fix it. It also says that we have no SDCs. Well, anybody that's come into the Pine and built anything here knows we have SDCs because they say them and they don't want it. And then there's a concern too that that the city is adopting their own SDCs. And we don't want those SDCs to overlap our SDCs in water and sewer. It's not real clear in the comprehensive plan that that's not a game plan at all. kind of sounds. So these things are these stuff that I'm only here because my lawyer said I had to come here. I had a parent say who I was, so he says some of these things, and that's why I'm here. I made some extra ones, so anybody that would like to take a look at some of the little things that are wrong.
They're mostly information that they did not know, and we were asked, so we didn't know that was in there until we read it, and unfortunately, it wasn't until today that I got it. So, I thought there was an idea, but
Well, she has some input response. We will make those changes. In many cases, it's clarification. With regard to something like SDCs, it's a matter of making sure it's clear that their impact fees or SDCs are separate different things that the city can impose later on as it gathers its own systems together.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for being here. Do we have any other questions, comments, concerns? Over here.
This is John, this is Downton Mills, the Tony Mullen again from the Pine Park Recreation District. I think we sent an email earlier today, which is clarifying to you guys. So the Boys and Girls Club is an entity that's based in Bend and had been there, but there's a few references to it in there, and we're just asking if those would be struck, so and I'm sure that would be not, so that would be a problem. So kind of the land is just outside the city, so we don't want to transfer the county. We did mention that it's the Roadville Band, and that's just the term that got attached to that. But it's really, it's going to be the Pine Park Recreation District land. It'll be tied to the Park District land with Sioux County. And the plan is for a long-term leasing contract with the Roadville and the Frontier Days. You know, this is land. The Roadville, an hour a year, or the 50 years, or whatever it could be. Just so that the Frontier Days and Roadville have a home. So that's the concept. But that would be the Pine Park Recreation District would be entitled over to that. And one of the concepts that was talked before, and maybe have a little bit of a paragraph in there about this, is kind of the concept of a downtown plan, a downtown development area, but around that multiple park building area. One of the visions is that maybe we could have a nice walking area with a coffee shop, item library, community rooms, gym available, and anything else. So that's kind of just fitting back into the start next week on Tuesday, is that cool downtown area. So it's first in Huntington, and there's the landowner. You guys may end up owning land just like the park district when it comes through in this legislation. I think it's about a third of them in there, so it's not really, but it's that high down there. So that's just kind of a little bit of the concept of a downtown core area. As I say, I don't know, I haven't read in detail what that's really in there, but that's something that was discussed.
Yeah, in discussions with Senator Wagner's office in the last couple of weeks, I'll make sure that we get forwarded the latest draft of the bill.
I got that.
Because I saw some language in there that would be consistent with what you're talking about, and it's identified specific terms for what they call the Roadview Land. So if there are changes to be made, we may want to ask David Blair to make those so there's greater clarity. I don't think you'll have a problem with that, but we should talk and discuss that.
Yeah.
And then the email that I got back from Catherine, it was also coming to you. Yeah, we're totally happy to make those changes, and good one.
Yeah, so the next thing, the campground. So the campground, I know it's in the city, and one of the concepts is just that we do want to promote campground as another community meeting place, and we do plan on developing that a little bit for overnight camping with the public, but also it's a really nice day use area for the community. So these kind of fit into the comprehensive plan of the park district, so I already mentioned we're referencing that. So just to tell you that those are the visions, the things we have. The comprehensive plan for the park district will be reviewed in detail in about the next year. I'm not sure, 12 months from now, but that's going to start again. It's going to be about 4 or 5 years old when it was adopted the first time, so we are going to do that. So that'll be a good reference point. They'll fit right in after this. Another concept is the park district is real excited to see how much we can work with the county and the city in the future to manage maybe small community parks or at least green spaces. And the concept there is that the park district will have staff, maybe I envision maybe somebody, a maintenance person with a pickup truck someday, but being able to go by properties, emptying the garbage, making sure that things are maintained. And this would be the whole 85 square mile of the park district, so we're working with the county already outside the city, meaning north and different areas, where we can just find a place and designate it as a maintained green space and park. But also the opportunities to do that inside the city, just if there's properties that either could be donated to people or transferred from county or something. So that's just an idea that we maybe want to expand on. Looking for future managed green spaces. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Can I respond just a couple of quick things? Response, I think, is one, in relation to the, you said the comprehensive plan update by the park district in the next year or two, there are policies that have been included in the comprehensive plan. The city's actually requiring itself to designate someone to work with you at such time as you update the comprehensive plan. So a lot of these things can be taken into account in the city working on its future development plans. The second thing is many of the land, I think all of the lands that the park district owns are designated open space on the comprehensive plan. So when you get to the zoning board and stage of that and start looking at the uses that are appropriate, that you'll be working with the city to look at and make sure those things are allowed uses. So I think a lot of that coordination has been built.
So we do have an adopted comprehensive plan, which is the main part, and we are working under a plan that was worked on 5 and 10 years ago. So yeah, the review of it is coming out, and we're basically kind of following the plan as it was adopted, which is neat. If you go look at it, we're right on the plan as it was defined years ago, so we're looking forward to reviewing that.
Thank you, Tony.
Well, I'm sure everyone knows I let that go well over 3 minutes, and I'm really glad that we can do that. I'm not seeing a long line of people out there wanting to speak, so. Dan.
Dan Barco, I'll put my name in here. I think I brought this one up before, and my memory of the cap doesn't remember the answer, but I know that we've got established the urban growth boundary as the same as the city limits, and because it's like the seventh part of the city road or something like that. Anyway, I noticed on the map with this area off to the east of the industrial park area, is it says future employment lands. And so I see a designation where it's not in the urban growth boundary. I lately have been really impressed that I think it's a possibility that we could run out of industrial zone property pretty rapidly. The Facebook company just bought in front of about 120 acres, and we could even offer them 120 acres here. If some of that Facebook came along and wanted to put some employees to work here, we could accommodate those kind of needs. And so I'm concerned that even though we think we have all this land, are we really prepared for maybe in the near future, 10, 20 years? And again, I mentioned this before, I'm really little ground, we're talking about the real transfer ground on the west side of town. Being that it's adjacent to the city, it still feels like to me that that would be considered to be an urban growth boundary. The uses may not be city type uses, but it's a bit easier to deal with the local government and going to the county all the time for stuff. And I just want to throw it in once more that it seems to me like it might be common sense to include that. And there's probably some real technical reasons why I shouldn't, but I just don't know. So, thank you.
Yeah. One of the things that we heard, and that's why that label is on your map,
is to make sure that Republicans are aware it makes sense to expand employment lands next to where services are being provided to employment lands. So that Hopkins area, which is employment lands or industrial lands in the lower portion of the comp plan map, would be a logical place because we're already providing services there. So it's economically feasible to expand in that area. The state requires that we inventory all of our commercial and industrial land and look at what's vacant and what's developed. And when we do that through this process, there's quite a bit of vacant land that could be assembled, which isn't always easy, but the state requires us to look at the total and what is available as vacant now and what could accommodate large spaces in the future. So we've done that, and because we have such large amounts of vacant land inside the urban growth boundary city limits, we can take land that is either Forest Service designated and convert that to urban uses for employment land, so that's an opportunity to get some larger acreages, or, as we put into the plan, that every 2 years, we take a look at where we are, and if we need to expand, we have that opportunity to do so. There's another technique that can be used in the future, which is to create urban reserve areas, and that would give a more finite boundary outside of the UGB of where you could go after 20 years. But to answer Dan's question, right now our inventories are showing that we have adequate industrial land for the next 20 years. And those inventories really tell a story of what's vacant and what's redevelopable and then what can be rezoned to industrial. So we have plenty of opportunities right now outside the city limits or the UGB.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
My name is Pat Murphy. I don't know where the complete comprehensive plan is located. I went to the city website and I didn't see it. Were you there?
Yes.
Okay, I missed it. Because I wanted to read it and I couldn't find it. Okay, I'll have to look at it.
While the record's open, you can make comments for the next week. So,
okay.
And if you have a problem, email us. We'll email you.
All right. Maybe I was just in a fog and I went and looked at it and just missed it.
It's on the front page, isn't it?
Is there a link to it?
There's a link to the...
There is a comprehensive plan section off to the left.
Yeah, there's a plan.
Somehow I missed it. We've been trying to find the clarity report at the county website because it was called something completely different, and so it's maybe my fault. Okay, one of the questions I have, are you coordinating this comprehensive plan with the county comprehensive plan in any way?
Yes, we're required to by law.
Okay.
And there's a meeting on February 25th to talk about how this plan works with the county comprehensive.
Okay. My second question, last question, is that I have a red plan, that's what I don't know, so maybe this is an ignorant question. Are you doing anything concerning food sustainability within the city limits because you've got so much over there?
In terms of allowing things that are alternate energy or looking for more sustainability, we look at making sure that the basic components are available in the community so people can have gardens, that they can have community gardens, and a lot of this kind of information is developed through the zoning ordinances and the exact uses that are allowed inside the community. So at the very base level, yes, we have plenty of land to do those types of things. Future refinements on exactly where they'll be allowed will come through the zoning ordinance.
So be sure and take part in that.
Yes.
This is about big interest.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Bernie McLaughlin, Planning Commissioner. I just wanted to actually answer a question that I think that didn't possibly get answered about why the urban growth plan didn't include the park, but the Parks and Rec is going to be getting, hopefully. And it was basically, it's included in the plan that if and when that land is acquired by the Parks District, that we will look at including it in our urban growth family at that time. So I don't know if that would be to turn around.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll just add that real quick, is that, but as we said, because, as Deborah said, there's enough land for industrial, commercial, residential, but there are provisions with the state law for special needs properties like that. It's a unique, special purpose property that, at such time as that transfer does occur, that that can be looked at separate from industrial, commercial, and residential landscapes. So it is a possibility.
Good information. Yes, David.
I'm just curious about when you mentioned referring to the state requirements. Is that a minimum or maximum? Is it like, are they saying you cannot allow more than X pieces of acres of X, or you have to have X amount?
Both.
It's both ways. So they pretty much say precisely you have to have X percentage.
One of the things that we require us to do is analyze what you have, what the national, local, and state trends are for absorption of property, and where the trends are for industrial and commercial expansion. And then the assumptions that we are required to do together with the plan show what's been used up in the past. And absorption isn't the only technique to forecast how much you need over the future. But it's one method to see what's happened in the past. What we do is we compare that against the industry groups that are likely to expand or locate in Lehigh. And the things that we'd like to see in Lehigh, we'd like to see more manufacturing and family wage jobs. We as a community, not James and I, but in looking at what the community would like to have, what we heard in the community meetings was, hey, we need jobs. We don't want to drive to them. We don't want to drive to South County. Those kinds of things are taken into consideration to get down to what you have is available acres, and what the state also requires is immediate opportunities, and those are identified through the Leahy lands and the other industrial lands that are available. And then we look at the commercial lands and where new commercial nodes can be developed. So the state requires us to look at all that. And then we're required to make some analytical assumptions of what you used up, and then over the 20 years, what's likely to happen. Looking to have large parcels available, and looking to have some large parcels. And look at what's needed for each neighborhood, and then how can we better use the commercial land that we have today. So the state sets the guidelines, tells you what to look at, what to examine, look at the trends, and then make a final conclusion. So take a look at that chapter again and see if there's anything in there you think we missed. Because the economic is showing none. And I can tell you this, that's why I brought this class.
That's a difficult challenge, is that they do tell you we need a minimum 20 years, but they can't have more than 20 years. So you try to find something that takes your land availability somewhere in that range. And that, again, that's why you end up looking back. For example, the Park District, their comprehensive plan is not that old, but they need to update it. The county's updating their comprehensive plan, and their goals and policies in the City of Le Pine's comprehensive plan that say every 2 years we're going to revisit some of this stuff to see if we're still on pace. Because, in the end, you made a 95% accuracy of 20 years right on the bottom. It's going to be a pretty difficult one to do.
And even if a big mistake was made and we undershot it, even though we have lots of land, but let's say somebody has a 200-acre industrial project that's going to Le Pine, we can make accommodations.
The other thing was whether or not we considered what currently is happening out there with people looking for renewables, clean energy, and it seems like we are requiring more land. And one thing that we have to offer is lots of land.
Yes.
And that seems like that's what they want.
And so if we have it, but we can't use it, that would be what we're concerned with. But if we're able to convert Lyme pieces quickly, that could accommodate that. But what I don't like to do is compete with Prineville and lose. We have one avenue, we can't access it. That's just, and we're not ready for it. So that's just my concern is we need jobs, and we need to be in a competitive position to get those jobs. And I have a concern. I mean, you know, 120 years, we didn't have water.
And because energy...
I don't think people can hear you back.
Oh, I'm sorry. To follow on to Dan's comments, things that make this attractive to businesses wanting to locate in Ohio is access to energy and a lot of energy. The Facebook operation with Prineville, because they have... and they have access to the BPA line that could give them quite a bit of megawatt power. We have similar things in Lapine, and those are attributes that make us popular. Having tax relief, like Prineville did.
We do too.
That's another advantage. So when you look at Chapter 9, you'll see a subtitle that says, why is it great to have your business in Lapine? And we list all of the attributes. And when businesses look to the comprehensive plan, we want them to look at that and say, oh, okay. You know, those are the basic building blocks they've got.
Thank you. Anyone else? A comment? Question? I may be limiting you.
My last night, I had a sheet. You heard of the Q Med and Ben discussing the baby syndrome again. This is the only case of blue baby syndrome. They even go applying in this area 175 years. Just as big as this kid is that what's her tactic? You know, I'm looking toward a comprehensive sustainable plan for the groundwater protection program here in this basin. We need to partner with Lapine.
My
name is Ben Chris. I'm from Little Wild River, and I'm on the Deschutes County Planning Commission, and I'm a TC media person also here in Lapine. I would like the city to join with us outside the city in a partnership to make sure that we connect together on groundwater protection here. It's going to be crucial. There will be a line that we never will be probably used for new systems and new pivot system is extremely important because your old pivot system has 9 feet to the groundwater and was put in the wrong place in the first place. It has led to all the nitrates. We don't know where they go or how far they are. We have conflicting reports. There's some that maintain that the water flows to the north from there, and some that say that it flows to the east. We've seen this in a couple of different reports. The main key to this is simple. That pivot field change will be crucial in looking forward to the plan that we come up with, working with the DEQ and the DLCD. I met Monday morning with the CAT team in Gilcrest and Crescent. They've been working with us, folks here in the Lapine region and the Three River region, with the steering committee to start looking at how we're going to put pieces together. And the Lyon City of Lapine have a representative on the steering committee. We have a lot of folks in the city who have septics, and they'll be on septics for a while. As you move forward, I don't know if we'll be hooking up to the sewer, but these are parts of the things that we need to look together in a comprehensive, sustainable way together in a partnership. The folks in Crescent have a building moratorium because of nitrates. There's elevated nitrates in the lagoon system and several of their monitoring wells. So meeting with them, we're going to work closely with those folks and 12 folks outside of those two urban rural communities to try to put together a plan that we can all work with and makes economic sense. One of the things I'd like also to see the City Council do, and this is a little bit outside the comprehensive plan, but it's a comment I made. The report of the Taylor Street damages all our property values down there. As long as people keep making these outrageous claims, there's a serious problem. seems to be in evidence. Well, our comprehensive plan, I come up with the South County chapter for the comprehensive plan, which I'm writing myself. We did not get that written up on camera. We did not recognize that role of money spent here, that we need a chapter in there about us because we have some special things down there. I'm going to be submitting evidence recent to Juro Castro Henry Walden that proves that blue baby syndrome is not caused by nitrates in drinking water. It's an endogenous process by gastrointestinal infection, which causes the liver to actually produce the nitrates. This is now known fact. I don't know the other epidemiologists that did this work. The point I'm trying to make is that we keep on scare tactics, and I think the city council needs to write to the county DEQ and said, please, let's not put this stuff out in the media. Last year, there was a report up in Portland that we had nitrates in our water, and it was too bad to drink. In the comp plan, I think we need to address the spray field and the equipment system, and I think the other thing we need to address very carefully, think about, is language that would support people perhaps outside the city limits looking to the sewer.
Okay. And that's goal number...
It's under the public facilities and services, and chapter 7, public facilities and services. And real quick, in regards to that, there was a comment that we had heard when we met with the Deschutes County Board of Commissioners, and they asked that it be considered for the applying comprehensive plan, that there be a policy included in there. Even though right now it's the sewer district is separate from the city, that there be a policy that if and when state law would permit, or if the city could help to foster expansion of the sewer district beyond the city limits, because right now the MDGB and city limits on the Kansas County Sewer District is that would aid South County as a whole. We took that to the Planning Commission, and they thought that was a good idea to have a policy in there. It doesn't obligate the city to do it, it obligates the city to partner with, for example, the sewer district of Bourbon County to explore that issue. And another comment I think from the Planning Commission was from the financial standpoint, we could help with the stability of the sewer district, finding more connections to the sewer system. So, kind of solve a couple of problems.
So, Ed, is that you considering something expanded on that, or is that what you had in mind?
Well, I haven't seen, I think, any pending language yet. So, is that the original? Alright, so I'd love to see that. So if you got a copy, I can have it. Yeah, I can get your copy. Alright, thank you for doing my job. Okay, you're going to do it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, we'll get this one.
Yeah. All right, do you have any other public comments? Did you have something to say, James, to follow up on?
No.
Any other comments, questions? All right, hearing none.
So, if you have any questions for us on anything that you heard, we can answer it as well.
Okay. Can you hear me back there? All right. Hearing no other comments, we will close the oral portion of the hearing at 7:05. I just realized that clock is wrong. But we'll leave the record open for 7 days to receive any written testimony. And James or Deborah, where should written testimony go to?
You can send it to the City of La Pine, or if you're on the City of La Pine Week, you can send email directly to us. So either works. Whatever is most convenient, send it to the City of La Pine or send it directly to our My email is dlts55@yahoo.com.
Is that on the website?
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Absolutely. Everything we do is transparent.
All right. I guess the oral portion of the hearing is now officially closed. And we And we now proceed to council deliberations and next steps. So, council. Comment? Discussion? We are ready. End of that. Any comments, questions? Jeremy, anything?
No.
So I guess we are ready then for you to lead us into the next steps.
Right, and let's discuss briefly what those next steps are.
Can you hear?
Can everybody hear me? The council will need to adopt an ordinance that approves the comprehensive plan. But this is a joint process with the county. And it's kind of a mingled process because of the way the grant was set up in terms of meeting with the different jurisdictions. So since our planning commission has recommended approval, and we hope the city council will also render a decision of approval, which will go through its legal process through an adoption ordinance, the county has to recognize that what was once referred to as Lapine as an unincorporated area is now going to be pulled out of their comprehensive plan, and instead the city's comprehensive plan will be recognized. But when you change the text of the county's comprehensive plan, it also requires some sort of formal notice and action. And that will be heard in a public hearing on February 25th with the County Planning Commission to discuss the removal of language that no longer fits the plan and the insertion of language that recognizes the new comprehensive plan. And some of you may have received what is known as a Measure 56 notice discussing that the county is going to hold this hearing and that the creation of the urban growth boundary and the Lapine Comprehensive Plan could have impacts on your property. That's what that notice is about. So on the 25th, we'll have that meeting, and then because of the grant terms, the City Council and the Board of County Commissioners will have a joint meeting. And then after that, there will be a final process, and everything is sent off to the state. So the next step is the county's meeting on similar issues, and then a joint meeting between this group, or this council, and the Board of County Commissioners, and hopefully we'll have two approvals to forward off to the state. And then we'll wait for the state's comments, and hopefully we'll be done. Did I miss anything?
Okay, so our meeting to read the first reading of the adoption ordinance,
we need to set that.
We need to set that now. We need to anticipate when we're going to have that ready, or should we? We have a 7-day written comment period.
Right, to see what happens with that.
Okay. So maybe at our next council meeting, we'll be ready to set the date for the first reading. Okay.
I don't expect any mega bombs to come in the 7-day period. I hope nobody takes that as a challenge. The requirements to make sure that the wishes of Lapine citizens and the livability standards that we heard from the last year, we think we've got tweaks here and there, you know, to make sure we've got agency information. That's typical and expected. And we appreciate the comments that have come forward.
I would, and Jeremy, you can chime in too, is that I would expect that at your next meeting, it will be a compilation of whatever, you know, we heard tonight, whatever we get in the next 7 days, then a memo to you, and what we would be asking as your consultants would say, are you directing, based on what you heard, what we summarized in the memo, any further changes to this comprehensive plan or the map? And if you have any, we would make those, and then that document and that map would then be subject to the first reading, which could essentially be at your next, probably the first meeting in March.
First meeting in March. Mm-hmm. Well, hope for that. So far, it's a pretty good sailing. Well, thank you. I thank everyone for their attendance, for their comments and questions. I think we got some good input and some good questions and some good answers. Thank you. And maybe you'll stick around for the rest of the meeting.
After that, too much to collect.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Are you worried?
Oh, yeah. And don't just keep that in the piece of paper so while you're talking
about it. You know what I mean? I just want to let you read it. I want to show it to you. I want to see it. Just a reminder of these, not just the agenda item is number 8, approval of liquor license application, Pine Frontier Days Association. And for those who don't know, this is pretty routine. When these come to us, they've already been approved by OLCC. This is a formality just so that the city knows what's going on, and our approval essentially just says, yes, we recognize that this is these are pretty routine, the approval of the liquor licenses. They've already been approved by OLCC. It's a courtesy that they come to the city so that we know what's going on in the city and certain dates and everything. So our approval of these liquor license applications basically is just an acknowledgement that we have accepted it and we know what's taking place. So, with that, I will, unless council has any question or discussion, I will entertain a motion to approve the liquor license application for the Lapine Frontier Days Association.
I would so move.
I'll second it. It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Fitch, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes.
Councilor Mendez, yes.
The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. All right, we'll move on to item number 9, resolution 2010-04, public records request policy. And do we have a staff report?
The memo.
That's our staff. Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay. Does anyone have any discussion on that?
Actually, I'd like to exercise my option to for reconsideration and put it out again for public comment and another vote.
Okay.
So what you're asking is that we table this into the next city council meeting?
No, if I understand the reconsideration, we
is that being I was on the same side of my vote, that I can, at the next meeting, call for reconsideration. And so then it enables council to deliberate and take public comment and then re-vote.
There's been nothing approved yet, but yeah.
That's okay. Yeah, we're
this is the first round of approval. The last time we discussed this, it was during a work session. There was no approval. It was just a consensus to move it to today's agenda for approval.
Okay.
So there's really nothing to reconsider at this point.
Okay. So then, so what we now have is the resolution and policy.
Correct.
Okay. And then consensus was last week just for you to go ahead and write the resolution.
You got it. With the changes, with some of the changes that we discussed, and so today you are hopefully going to either approve or disapprove the resolution, and the resolution is simply the adoption of our policy.
Because this, what we have in front of us, the policy that we now have includes the changes that we suggested at our last meeting.
Right, and I'll walk you through those when you're ready.
Okay, let's go ahead and do that.
So the significant changes are those in, let's see here, section 3.1, that now instead of having the fee schedule within the body of the resolution or the body of the policy, we've attached it as a separate schedule. I believe it was Adele that made that suggestion. Section 4.2 now provides that charges, or the requirement, if you will, that city personnel being present during the original review of original records is now at the discretion of the city recorder, which was another item that we discussed. And then in section 6 of these, schedule 3.1, I put a caveat concerning the charging of labor costs. If you look after the semicolon, it provides now, provided however, the city recorder may waive the city's labor costs for a public records request requiring 10 or fewer minutes of total city personnel time. Recall, we thought that it was important to include.
Who are we reading that?
Schedule 3.1, section 6.
Oh!
Fee schedule.
Okay, fee schedule. Thank you.
So, those are three of the more important revisions that you requested.
Okay. Any other, did you have any comments, questions?
I would like to wait until, you had mentioned that other cities were reviewing, were going to be adopting.
Considering this stuff.
Yeah, right. I would like to table it and see what changes and revisions that other cities are making, so we can do a comparison.
City of John Day approved it yesterday, and they didn't have some of the changes that you had proposed at our last work session.
Okay.
So they have one that doesn't include, for example, the 10-minute time frame for review. They also don't have a couple, actually, I don't recall what other differences. I know that was the one that jumps out at me, but they approved theirs yesterday at the City of John Day. City of Burns, City of Madras, I don't know when they're going to approve it. So my concern with that is it could be weeks, it could be months. And so I'd advise against that.
I would ask the mayor that she call for a motion to vote straight, yes or no, up and down vote on this resolution 2010-04 at this time.
Okay, so that, I take it, concludes any comment that you have. Councilor Ward, thank you. Councilor Greiner, do you have any comment?
No, thank you.
against our hedges.
I think some people are looking for a fee schedule, and there is not. There is no schedule at this time.
The fee schedule should have been sent out.
No, I mean.
And if it wasn't, then the city council does have copies of it.
On a separate piece that you passed on.
It should be out in circulation. Because in my opinion, it's important for citizens to have an awareness of what the fee schedule provides.
Did we just get this tonight? Yeah, of course. So we don't have copies for the public?
I think they're looking for the cost.
That'd be a mess. You can read them in the record.
Do people in the audience have the Schedule 3.1 with the blanks on it?
There's only two copies out in circulation, and it would be the two copies in those folders. So my suggestion would be, Kitty, that you could read that in to the record right now.
Sure, I can do that.
So people understand the fees.
Okay. The fee schedule is as follows. One, copies of public records and certified copies. 25 cents per copy for standard letters and copies. Copies may be certified for an additional charge of $3.75.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
Number two, copies of sound recordings are $10 per copy. Number three, copies of maps and other non-standard documents. The actual cost to the city for copying maps or other non-standard sized documents will be charged to the requester.
Judy, if I may interrupt you, they have all that. What they don't have is the numbers and the blanks, so you can just get right to the numbers and the blanks. It's all they need.
Okay. Number four is records on compact disc. That's $10. Number five, records transmitted via facsimile and electronic mail. Facsimile is $2 for the first page and 50 cents for each additional page. Limited to a 25-page maximum. Not including federal page. Okay. Cost of public records transmitted via electronic mail, $2. Limited to 10 megabytes in size. Oh, $2 per electronic mail plus 25 cents per page. And limited to 10 megabytes in size.
And that's the only blanks that we should have.
Those are all blanks.
So what I guess we wanted to do, this is including the relevant information, is to look and see what other cities are charging. I suggested that she get on the League of Oregon Cities website. On that website, there are examples of other city fee schedules. John Day did the same. Obviously, Burns and Madras and other cities are doing the same thing. And I assume, and I believe Luana will confirm, that those numbers are consistent with current charges and or those that other cities are charging. Is that correct? Audible, yes?
Yes, it is. We're cheaper on some items, so
okay.
Just, it varies.
It varies, okay. Yeah. So, Councilor Hedges, did you have anything else?
No.
So, if I'm reading it correctly, then there's no opportunity for someone to either peruse a record or to get a copy for free.
Not necessarily true. We discussed this at the last city council meeting, and under certain circumstances, under section 3.4,
right,
there could be a reduced fee or a free copy provided.
Correct.
And yeah, we did actually discuss that, I think, at length, and I thought that we were all satisfied that that covers it. The city recorder or whoever else is handling the requests, the trust will exercise proper discretion and decision making those instances. So I am ready to proceed
4th, this would be the first reading of the resolution.
Kitty, I'd recommend that you give the public an opportunity to comment on it before you actually approve the resolution.
Yeah, I just want to give my word in that I am ready to go ahead because I don't see, I think we've done enough research and I don't think we need to follow suit exactly what any other city is doing. We need to tailor our policies and procedures to our city, gleaning what we can from other cities, which I believe we have done. I think we've done our due diligence there. With that, I see we have some public comment, request for public comment. Ed Chris?
My personal opinion is that it's important to have a lot of daylight and a lot of transparency, particularly at the point where cities being formed and policies are being adopted. One of the things I'm very concerned about, what I just heard, is the transfer of electronic records. They may have compared cities, but your addition's kind of charging for amazing amounts of files. I'm not talking about being on the planning commission. And you charge for things like maps, stuff like that, especially oversized big wall maps, excuse me, things of that nature. But for electronic files or things that they had access to, they usually just pointed it out where we could go and find it. It wasn't on the website. They were happy to send us those materials. There were some problems along the way with this, but I remember quite a few files that kind of came through to us, especially in this local rule issue, that was not an issue for an electronic city because they didn't spend any time to do it other than somebody pushing the button saying yes, and then all of mankind. No limits on size, no charges for extra pages or anything else. So I feel that's not appropriate electronic stuff. The other thing I'd like to bring up is several times we showed up to county offices, including the DEQ offices, by the way, with a dozen people, copiers, reams of paper, and we were pretty much just left alone to the files. And we had no issues with that. Now, in the county's case, they would not leave us alone with the files, so they had somebody there. They did not charge us for that individual to stand there and watch us, because they wanted to watch us over those files, which was fine. But I can tell you with the DEQ, we were talking reams of boxes of papers, unbelievable trails of stuff. They just put us in a room, closed the door, and said, have a good time. We weren't going to do anything with those papers. I mean, most people, I'm sorry, they're going to be honest about stuff, but they're looking into things. I don't understand what the question would be if I came there and the one said, okay, here's this 250-page file. How am I going to read that in 10 minutes? All right, I'm sorry, it's going to happen. And so, if part of the openness and transparency, I think it's needed in government. Particular in the forming stage of a government here in the city, is going to be really important for the citizens to have access to as much as they can. Let them ask the questions, clear the table, because I'll tell you what, the more openness you have in the beginning, when you do make a mistake and there is a problem somebody has it with you, they're going to cut you more slack because you've been open and honest and the light of day is on things. I really think that's important. We had a tremendous problem with some of the agencies we were dealing with this groundwater issue, as an example, including the county at times. And many times we had to say, we need these documents. We have to go the long route, fine. And most of the time it's fine, come up and do the documents. But I think it's important to try to have that openness and transparency and putting the cost of the citizens who already paid for these documents to be there in the first place starts to get a little bit, I think, out of line. So you can look at the other cities and say that, well, maybe economically it's difficult. If it presents an economic difficulty for the city, I can understand charging. But if it does not present an economic difficulty for the city, then let the citizens look at what they need to look at. I think it's important. And you might want to include in there that, hey, if you want to bring your own copier and your own reams of paper down, have fun. I can tell you right now, we got about 4 boxes of the DQ stuff that we just copied. Anyway, I just want to suggest that I think that the more open and transparent, the more the better it's going to be in process moving. And again, if there's a mistake or somebody has a problem with an issue, no one more than likely, since you've been open and transparent in the first place, over other issues, cut you some slack when there's something wrong. That's just all I'm saying. Thank you.
This really isn't about openness and transparency. It is all about finances. Staff, and there's nothing that the public wants that they can't have access to that is not a public record.
But they have to pay and to have somebody watch over them.
Not only for original documents.
And even then, it's only if the city recorder determines that it's necessary. So your comments are excellent, and I think that's why the city council at the last work session requested that it be changed to provide that the charging, as far as the review was concerned, would only occur if the city recorder felt it was necessary. Otherwise, there'd be no charge.
There's a 10-minute limit, correct?
No, that's a different issue.
No. Okay.
The 10-minute limit would apply. Yeah, the 10-minute limit would apply if, for example, you were to come in and request a copy of a document, and the document would only take a few minutes for her to generate for you, there'd be no charge. Otherwise, we're paying for the team, for lack of a better expression.
Sure,
we tried to avoid that by including that language in the policy.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. As far as a charge for transmitting faxes or electronic mail, you don't just push a button. First of all, staff has to locate the information, so it does take some time. And we've heard the argument, and it's a valid one, that staff is already there, and they have all of these records. That's very true. But government doesn't just exist. Government isn't just there providing services and information to people. Government costs money, and so government has to have revenue to make up for that, and gets that revenue in different ways. Most common ones are taxes and fees that are charged, and some of our taxes that are already being collected will be paying for some of this, and that's, you know, the times when someone comes in, wants some information, and the staff can give it to them because they're already there, it doesn't take long, and so on. The other part of it is that the city has the option of charging a fee per use. And to me, it's logical, because the people who use more pay more. And I don't have the time to split my firewood and get it in, and I crank up my electric furnace. I use more electricity and I pay more for it. And that's what this is. It's just a different type of offsetting the cost to the city. And it really is, in my opinion, a reflection of you use more, you pay more. It's not a means or a method or an attempt to keep information from people. Personally, I don't see anything in here costing very many people very much money very often.
Let me add something too. Some of you weren't here at the last city council meeting, but it was discussed that the city is going to look into putting all of our resolutions and ordinances and other critical documents online, which could avoid many, many requests. And so the idea would be that you log on to our website, and there's a link to all of our ordinances and resolutions and franchise agreements, you name it. And frankly, it should expedite your ability to obtain those records, cut down on administrative time and costs, and be a benefit to both parties. Parties meaning citizens in the city. So that is something that I'm hoping Luana is going to look into with Tony and his group. And I think, like I said, it'll help out the transparency issue that you addressed as well.
Does that answer your questions and address your issues? Loretta, Morgan.
Well, I'll just say, I think that two ways that I recovered most of them. I just didn't know whether or not the city of La Pine had gotten a notice
from the State Attorney General's office. They have a new department, Department for Transparency in Government, that he just named a new head to. And they realized they did a survey. And the state of Oregon came in with less than 39% of the cities being in compliance with the transparency in government parameters within it. Mostly out of confusion. Citizens thinking they have a right to more and government not knowing what they need to give.
That's right.
And where the law is wrong.
That's right.
And that's really, in all honesty, what it is most of the time.
That's right.
So the governor has put together a commission. And they are coming, and they are going to be coming to Bend. I spoke with them yesterday. To Bend, doing a symposium on April 29th to educate both government and citizens on the new proposed transparency in government initiative that the state attorney general is proposing. And I just think Councillor McAfee's suggestion maybe to set this aside pending some of this new, as he's the Attorney General's office, that he wants to clarify, make it easy to understand, make it so that both sides understand what he can ask for and what should be given. So he's put together his team that's going to be coming out to Eugene, Medford, and then the 29th of April. So that everybody will have a much better understanding, and Oregon is going to have some new laws that are being proposed as we are here for transparency in government and what citizens will have access to, and under what circumstances and under what financial cost. There will be some of this proposed as to limitations. So that would just be my additional suggestion, that it might be a good idea to wait to see what these statements that have been proposed are going to be, and to attend the symposium so everybody kind of gets a better understanding of what can be asked for and what can be expected.
Do you have any idea the time, what time of day that's
on? No, they will be sending the city, they say we will get announced. Yes, okay. Yes.
Okay. Well, I want to, if I may respond. I think most municipal law attorneys are relatively aware of this initiative. Definitely, I agree 100%. I think a lot of the frustration and confusion in general about these public record request policies and the underlying public records law stems from a lack of understanding. And it's not just with respect to the citizens, but municipalities, counties, state agencies, unfortunately, many of them do not understand what their obligations are to the citizens. I think even though, yes, there may be some new legislation coming, it's still critically important for the city to adopt this policy now, because it does provide a roadmap or a framework for both the citizens and the city as to what is required of a citizen when requesting public records. It informs the city staff what their obligations are in response to a public records request. And the beauty, if you will, about our situation, the sense that we're adopting it via resolution, is if there are changes, if the laws do develop and they somehow modify what currently is the law, as far as the Oregon Public Records Law is concerned, we can always adopt a resolution amending it. In fact, we would. That's the first thing we would do. If the laws somehow, the laws that are enacted or amended, impose additional obligations on the city, then we would have to be responsive and make changes to our policy to coincide with those changes in law. And so, in the interim, though, we need something. And I think that this is that something that is a gap filler, if you will, until any legislation may change.
Thank you. Vicki Jackson.
Hi, I'm Vicki Jackson, 7346 Main Court, Bend. On public policy, actually there was no public notice, and I had mentioned it at the last council meeting. In the Frontier, the meetings for the rest of the year were listed from February on, not last meeting. Really, you had a public, you're supposed to have public comments at that meeting. I think the real issue with the whole policy thing is you only have only one employee that's able to pull records, which is a lot. If
Adam is able to have access, then you've already promoted, wanted to exempt. You have two employees. I know the hours are 9 to 3. Closed. Friday's closed. But if you did promote the Fridays, and she did have access, and I think Dan Barca had come to the office, and Ronna wasn't there, and Patty wasn't able to take care of him. So I think your problem is when you say staff, you only have one person doing all the records request. And I don't order copies because it gets so darn expensive for a whole packet. I can't afford it. So I try to, you know, look at the agenda when it's there, go through it. And I would agree with Valetta that we should wait until we have that meeting with the Attorney General. And, you know, if you can put everything on the website, great. Even the agenda packet, wonderful. Thank you.
I don't think waiting is going to change anything. We need to have a policy in place, and as Jeremy stated, the only thing that would change would be the policy itself if we need to make changes. So, counsel, any comments?
No, I think we should take a vote.
I think it would be somewhat wise to wait, because otherwise we're going to have Jeremy do this twice. We could wait and have it done one time.
You're assuming that changes will be made.
Yes.
And we don't know that that's going to happen.
Right.
We don't know that one. What I understood from what Loretta was saying is that this symposium is more about transparency issues.
Now he's proposing changes to the state sunshine laws. He's actually proposed changes that are out there. And some of it, I'd like to say one thing. I think the issue here is not, you know, this tug of you give, you want.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the financial cost. And some of it's not clear. For instance, if I wanted to come in and listen to a council meeting because I missed one, that could cost me $50. The way it's written.
No,
it could, because you only have some of them on original format, which means Luana would have to stand there while I listen to a cassette tape for 3 hours, and that I'd be paying her salary.
That's actually not true. This is an example of the poor communication and understanding of these policies. The requirement that the city employee be present only pertains to original records, tangible records, documents.
Not like cassette tapes.
No, that's not an original.
It is. It's the only one they have.
No. So
okay.
We're talking about original records, which would be tangible records. If you wanted to come in and listen to a recording,
mm-hmm.
I don't think, Luana wouldn't want to be present to listen,
right.
You know, to observe you listen to a recording. That's unreasonable. And B, the only charge, if any charge, would be if you were to get a copy of the recording, and any reasonable person would obtain a copy of the recording for $10 or whatever it might be, and we are paying $50. Because you could have that, and you could take it with you and leave the premises.
So they don't have yet in digital format. Like, that is kind of one of the issues we're going to raise about some of the older ones are still on
that's something that internally they can deal with. But it should, again, the idea here is not to stymie or prohibit or inhibit citizens' abilities to obtain copies of or to review public records. That's not the intent here. The only intent here is to ensure compliance and to make sure that we've got reasonable protections in place so that we can maintain office efficiency and frankly comply with our legal requirements as it relates to record retention, and to recover only our actual costs of responding to a public records request. There was a comment made, and I don't remember from whom, regarding revenue generation. This is not to generate revenue, period. If it does, that violates state law. And so all we're trying to do is recover actual costs.
So just to clarify, if we go to City Hall and listen,
to meetings that we have.
Sure.
There's not a charge for that.
Are you going to charge them for listening
to
them?
That's been my big issue, finding out that what the cost of the way it was worded.
There's no charge.
Okay.
What would the charge
that's
be?
More than reasonable.
And it would presumably, and I don't want to speak for Luana, but presumably it would take less than 10 minutes to put you in a position so you could listen to it. So you have no labor costs. Remember, we already dealt with that issue.
Right.
So you're put in a room or in a corner to listen with headphones.
Okay.
It's not an actual
I consider that and that to be an original records. And
no,
so
no.
The way it was worded sounded like it would be okay.
And we clarified that at the last meeting, so obviously you're present. But is there anything there that I've said that's inconsistent with your current practices?
I think it's inconsistent from what I remember. So I remember one of the biggest objections was that there was no private area, and that that is why that
people are making this video.
Right.
But that's something then that staff needs to deal with. I mean, that's
sorry. It actually isn't here.
It is in the recording where it says. Paying for any photographing every means of recording, including letters, words, pictures, sounds. So it actually is in the definition of moving original records. So I think that's where we're going. As long as you clarify that,
no.
What's in that?
Yeah, and we're talking again. It's a function of not. What you're reading is a statute. Okay.
Right.
I'm reading our policy and our procedures. This is what's important as far as what we are saying you're going to be charged for. Okay? And what I'm saying here is if you on site at City Hall are going to review original records and Luana says that it is necessary for her to be present during that review, then there could be a charge. Otherwise, there's no charge. And so let me be clear that that's the intent. You know, you're going through files, you know, volumes of files or whatever it might be, put them on a desk, and these are important files, maybe they're original franchise agreements. That would be a situation where she may determine I should be observing that. If that is not the situation, if we don't have a review of original records, there's no charge. What that is referring to is the city's ability, a municipality, state agency's ability to recover costs in responding to a public records request.
And duplicating, I think people expect to pay anywhere for duplicating or
absolutely.
Duplicating or making
yeah.
copies. I mean, that's not unreasonable.
Here's the bottom. I agree with you. And the bottom line is, this is not worth its weight in gold unless this is implemented in a reasonable fashion. That's the bottom line. There's got to be mutual trust. You know, in the underlying premises, we've got to comply with the state public records request law. If we are not in compliance, we violate state law. The idea here is to establish expectations and communicate. If we don't have this policy in place, Vicki can attest to this. She, until this policy was put in place, and at times throughout the public records request process, I'm sure Vicki would say that there were some unknowns, some uncertainties as to what her obligation was and what the city's obligation was. This is communication.
So, if I can speak frankly, and I think that you did make a good point about the various assumptions that, that, you know, everybody is acting in good faith. I think that, I guess that's the crux of my objection here, is because I don't think that our staff has a good grasp of the concepts. And that's my biggest objection. And I think that probably could be illustrated in the fact that how much you were involved in the recent public records request. So, and that, you know, so this, that is why this policy concerns me.
Well, and I would think that is why this policy would be so beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think this is giving her and Patty the information and the expectation, your expectation to the city staff as to how they're going to respond to these requests. This provides them the framework. This provides them the roadmap. They don't need, you know, obviously they do need to refer to the statute at times, because this doesn't cover everything, and if it were to cover everything, it'd be 20 pages plus. But I do think that this is exactly what the city needs to address that very issue.
See, the way I see it, this is exactly what that does. The reason Jeremy's been involved is because we have not had this guideline. Now the guideline is created, we need to adopt it, and stop moving to this guideline.
Mayor?
And we can do other things.
We would instruct the staff to go full post haste as fast as they can, and put everything on the website that's possible. Mm-hmm. If we could do that, and we have this, it would eliminate the whole problem.
Right.
So let's get everything online that we can get online as fast as we can, and go ahead and pass this to be used in the interim until it gets done.
They'll go hand in hand.
Yes.
Because not everything will be on the website.
I understand.
And to the extent it's not, we've got a policy.
And not everyone uses a computer. The compliment, all of that.
That's right.
Compliments.
But most everybody can go to the library, and they can have one of the library staff help them get on the computer and get the document and put it down, because I have read that.
How about that? Me too.
Good.
What's the word?
No, I'm done.
Done?
I think I beat this to death enough.
Mr. Hedges, do you have any other concerns, questions, comments?
That would be all right, I guess, if we were sure that the changes would be made in a timely manner.
There are no additional changes.
Well, if this passes, or changes are made.
Jeremy already responded to that. He said that if the need for any changes came out, that he would take care of that immediately.
Yeah, from a work standpoint, additional work that might be required to respond to changes would be the same changes or the same work that would be required if we postpone this. Because I'm still going to have to make changes to this. Is everyone following me? Because there is no actual work from my perspective.
So we wouldn't have to be waiting weeks while it
exactly
is brought up.
That's exactly right.
Because we seem to get in some kind of bog sometimes.
Well, something like that, in my opinion, public record request policies is important. And I would think that if there were changes that resulted in our policy not complying with law, we'd respond quickly.
Does that address your concerns?
I don't think that this is the policy for our community. And I do appreciate the changes that were made in it.
All right. But you are ready to vote? I know I am.
Yes, I am.
Are you ready to vote? Okay, yes. I would like to just make one other comment. I believe that was me who made the comments on revenue generation, and I misspoke. I was combining the two things. I was talking about how cities get their money, which is through generally taxes and fees, and then when I moved on to talk about collecting fees for some public records requests, that was in fact to address the recovery of cost, not to generate fees. And then there is a cost involved, and that's, Jeremy's absolutely right, this is a recovery of cost issue. So I just wanted to clarify that, and I'm sorry I misspoke. All right. Got my agenda here. There is no further discussion. I will call for a motion to approve. Oh, do we, what's the resolution? Do we leave them first or just call for a motion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Joanna, do you want to read the resolution?
Just that title only.
Yeah. Resolution number 2010-04, a resolution establishing the City of La Pines public records request policy and procedures.
All right, I will entertain a motion to approve resolution number 2010-04, the public records request policy.
I would so move. I second.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Cracker, yes. Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Hitchens, yes.
Mayor Schultz, yes.
Councilor Hitchens.
Okay, thank you. Motion passes 4-1. Ellis. Oh, I'm interested. I respect your family. Sticking to your guns with what you think is right. I like that. I like to see that from counselors because there's nothing worse than looking like just a bunch of yes people sitting up here.
I think I am.
Make us think. All right. We will move on to item number 10, discuss possible scheduling of town hall meeting. This is a request by Councilor Hedges.
We had, people who wanted to have a follow-up to our last town meeting, and I would like to see that happen to update people in the city who are not able to come to council meetings about what we had talked about. We can't hear him. After our last town meeting, people wanted to have another one to update us on what we were doing. And I would love to schedule one to discuss what we have talked about for the city manager, about what ODOT is doing, about Subway, and to see if the city can become involved in the 100-year anniversary, because it seems to me that the city doesn't usually do anything like the parade that we have at Christmas and different functions that go on. We are kind of leaving it up to the public, and I would like to see the city involved in this too. So it's my desire to have another town meeting and to have different people involved in it, like the chamber and people who would like to express what is going on in the groups.
All right, it says on the request here that you would like to schedule a meeting in February.
It didn't get on the agenda any time.
Oh, okay. So is your message now as soon as possible?
March.
March, okay. Do we have a March calendar set up yet?
No.
Or this month yet?
And it doesn't have to be on a council day. We could schedule it for a Saturday afternoon or sometime that...
Okay. A council meeting day would not be good. It's an off day.
Yeah.
An off day would be the best.
Well, they did. We had a good turnout.
Yeah.
So I would, yeah, it's I think a Saturday afternoon.
Kids and babysitting, school, dinner.
Right.
All right.
No?
Okay, Councilor Greiner, the reason for a town hall meeting is for open discussion and just back and forth dialogue with the council and staff and the community.
So my comment was that if the citizens would have a difficulty coming to a council meeting, they might
might have difficulty coming to a town hall meeting on a regular council night or a Wednesday night, and it would be best if we're scheduling such a meeting, it should be on a different time than at a regular meeting of council or a Wednesday evening.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
I have difficulty with scheduling.
I don't recall, was that a weekday that we did?
Yeah,
the last one?
Yeah.
And that did seem to, a weekday evening, that did seem to work for everyone.
We
started at 6?
7?
7, didn't we?
We started at 7?
Yeah. That's a good idea.
That is kind of good because we have more time to meet people. I'm sure we're pushing to get us out of here. So.
Saturdays are out of premium. I don't know how easy it would be to get everyone together on a Saturday. And, you know, to me, this is my personal opinion. This is sort of a work-related thing. It's a business-related thing. And personally, I like to keep those things on business days. But I'm still not opposed to talking about Saturday. One, I'm afraid that a lot of people go out of town or, otherwise have plans with family or whatever. So I'm not real sure how well Saturdays would work.
They do that during the week, though. We had a really good turnout on a Saturday afternoon comp plan meeting. Mm-hmm. And I think it's difficult one way or the other, but it just seems that some people are free on a Saturday afternoon.
Well, we could try that. That would give people who aren't free, I guess, during the week, the opportunity. But either way, no matter how you do it, you're not going to catch everybody. Do it different days of the week, different times, then it would give different people opportunities for attendance. Oh, what's our first step in scheduling this?
Question?
Yes, sir.
My question is, if we have this town meeting, are we required to have an attorney here?
No, we're not required to. In fact, our attorney is required to attend council meetings, regular council meetings, regularly, unless excused.
Right.
And this would not be considered a regular council meeting. It's more the type of thing the attorney would be asked to be there, but without a meeting.
And I'd probably be at no charge anyway. I'd just come down and be down. Are you available for questions?
He's such a great guy.
That's a freebie.
Even on a Saturday?
Absolutely.
That answers my question.
My wife and my children are probably with me too.
I was just going to say, I'm in family.
It's terrific. As long as people are nice to me so my kids don't run out the door. They're only 8, 6, 8, 5, 4, and 3, so.
You're lucky.
But no, I would come down at no charge to be here, so if the citizens have questions of me, I'd be happy to answer them as well.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Could we try the first one?
Sure.
March 15th.
Okay. I'll need to look at my calendar, but I think it'd be fine.
I'll need to look at my calendar too. Let's everybody look at our calendar because.
The 22nd, generally, yes.
Yes, she's.
I think it might be good to have it like in April and be able to get enough notices out weekly into the country. So everybody gets it in the head, we got a big camp meeting, And by pushing it right into March, I don't think we give enough.
You know,
people come around.
Oh, that's good. Good thinking.
And on the website.
And in April, we should have better answers too on what direction we're going in getting the Oregon cities to help us with staffing and such. Sure. Tax day? Is tax day free?
I don't pay taxes. I don't. What is tax day? Yeah, does that. The 3rd or was it the 10th?
Saturday. Well, I think if Saturday, April 3rd would be just right about the time that issue of the Eagle comes out, so we're waiting for the following week, April 10th, to give more time for people to have the information.
That sounds good.
April 10th, so let's all check our calendars on that day.
Just for the record, I'm not available past the 22nd of April. I won't be out of town.
Did you catch that for the record?
April 10th?
No. Would you say that again, Justin?
Just for the record, I am not available after the 22nd of April. 10 days will be out of town.
Okay, so we know where we're going with that. Just go ahead and let staff know so that they can start working on everything that we wait to bring it up for the rest of the year. Check our calendars and let staff know. For the April 10th staff hall meeting.
Yeah.
So you both expect that. Are you in there?
Yeah.
What do you mean by staff? No, you're talking to staff.
I'm hoping that you for acknowledgement, but yes, you get that.
Now over there.
Yeah. We all are. Okay, we'll move on to numbers. Oh, I'm sorry.
Did you state a time?
We probably should decide that. That helps the people best. Everyone?
Yeah.
Do you need to
speak? 8 o'clock.
Yeah, okay. Keep that in mind.
Do they still have to go to the flea market?
We need to stick to our agenda and get people home before we all fall asleep. Okay, we'll move on to number 11, non-existent other matters, because the mayor certainly took care of that in the meeting. So that's out of the way. Now, we're on to item number 12, public comments for items not on the agenda. Korea.
I just wanted to bring to everybody's attention that Jim Rosenet and meeting on March 2nd, a Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. And I will be asking very informative, and there were a few people there, but it would be nice to get a really big turnout, because they're really, they either have the answers or they'll get the answers.
What time is that?
It's March 2nd from 4:30 to 6. You have to go find one.
Okay.
And you know, I always, the new meeting was great. It lists all the meetings, and I always check that out. And I check the printer and the live slides. I also look at the Ace Hardware. I look at the library. You know, there's not too many meetings that I miss that I want to go to. So sometimes it just takes, you know, I've been around for a while, so I know where to look. But if you tell people, maybe they'll look there too.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Anyone else?
Two things. One, I'd like to make an offer to the City Council to consider webcasting the City Council meetings at no cost to the city. I think it would be a really productive thing to do, especially with all of the changes that are coming and the planning and all of these presentations. It's very straightforward to do now. It's not complicated. And the beneficial side of it, besides many people who can't come at this hour of night because of kids, school, you know, all the other things that happen, there's a permanent record of it made. They can log in and on their own time listen and watch the City Council meeting. It makes a permanent record, so it's not a matter of, it would also alleviate the issue of having to go down and listen to City Hall meetings, because they would be a permanent record on the webcast library. So it's just something I'd like to propose and have you think about. I think it would be a really great thing for the people who can't come, and even the people who can come occasionally. At first, you could do it simply. You have a lot of capabilities. It can even, at some point, you can make it interactive if you chose. But at the very least, you can make it so that it's, yeah, like your worst nightmare. One person has a mouse who can let someone talk, you know, so you can see their mouth, and if you don't click it, they can't hear anything. But anyway, I just thought, you know, the webcast might be a really great thing to think about from the standpoint of involving a lot of people who can't come to these meetings. And I'd be willing to work on getting that set up and done. And once it's set up, it's as simple as basically flipping open a laptop, the recording, you know, recording devices get put up. Once it's set up, it's a very simple thing to do. So that's one thing I would like to propose. And then the other thing is just a quick question. When I was here at the last time I was at a meeting, I believe the city recorder announced that you've gotten the $80,000 grant that DMC had applied for. For planning and zoning, there was a grant that the city had been awarded. So I was just wondering, following up on that, wondering, is that going to be going out to bid, and will it be going out to a public bid? In a public manner, not in an informal manner, but in a formal public bid process. As this whole thing goes forward, I think that's important, and I was just wondering where that was in the process. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Something in that dollar amount does go out in public bid.
Right. Anyone else?
Jackson, the board meeting clerk. I just was got a couple questions, and when you had that special meeting with the Range Fighter, I know there was a proposal made today about a lady from the LOC doing a list of, as far as what the council wanted in the city manager temporary person.
Okay.
Because my understanding was he was going to email y'all, and then he was going to help interview those two retired city managers on the type of person that was going to be coming in temporarily.
Now, remember he talked about the consultant would come in, interview council, interview staff, and then do an assessment of what we needed. So that's what we're voting on today.
Okay.
Yeah.
he was going to email us, but didn't he do that?
Yeah, give us a proposal on what it would cost for them to do
so
that.
So he's still going to do that?
Yeah.
Those two gentlemen. Okay. I just wanted to clarify that. And then, Ron, I know you've got a budget committee. And to be a member of the budget committee, I know I had asked before, and I was told not to be in it, you have to be a resident of the city of La Pine and a taxpayer. But I was kind of going through the notes, and back in February 2008, Christine Nelson had clarified exactly what a budget committee membership, stating that they do not need to be a city resident and it is not non-paying, and they were asking for a citizen of the area.
Are you sure that wasn't the budget officer?
To be on the budget committee membership, it's right here, I'll give you a copy.
Well, it's governed by state law. I don't know what meeting minutes you're referring to.
Okay.
I can look at it.
Okay.
And I can send you an email, Vicki, with the specific statutory reference.
Yeah, because I wasn't sure if your rule said that if you wanted to be on the planning commission or the budget committee or even the tourism committee, if you have to be a resident of the city.
You don't. Those committees, as far as the composition of those committees, is determined by these people right here, and they are not necessarily exclusive to city residents. If the city council wants to open it up beyond the borders, the appropriate limits, they can do that. The budget committee is a different animal that's governed by state law.
Okay, so, and then, the other thing is, I didn't know if staff had set up an ODOT meeting, I believe. Adele had requested mid-December that she wanted to have a meeting set up with ODOT, and Barbara herself wanted to attend. I wanted to know if that's been set up. Thank you.
It has. Yeah. And we're going to meet with, on the 17th, at 1 o'clock, and they're going to meet with two engineers. I believe Deborah for her planning background, and Barbara and heads will run. Not at all.
Okay, anyone else? Very good. Do you want to move on to staff comments? Patty, do you have anything?
No, thank you.
Just a couple things. We've got some advertisements out for TRT Tourism Committee members. We're looking to replace a vacancy. We have 3 applicants. Deadline's tomorrow. The tourism funding grant opportunities is advertised. Deadline is March 1st. Budget committee members, we have basically 4 openings. The only thing is 2 of them are rerunning, and I'm still waiting for their applications to come in. We still need to find 2 more members of the community for the budget committee. And that
first, and it is advertised.
And they have to be registered voters. So,
Randy, Joe Scott, can you do it?
Not tonight.
Yeah, he's going to give his application.
Yeah, he's one that's really
okay.
Yeah. So, okay. And then, just so you know, the state of Oregon, or the Oregon, I'm not sure who it is. State Heritage Historical Database is up and running, and our historical inventory is now on that database. If you go into the website under La Pine History, so click here to the La Pine Historical Survey Highlights. If you click on that, it takes you to a page, and you can pick the city, click search. It'll bring up all the addresses of all of the historic homes in the city limits and gives you information. There's a whole bunch more information that's not on there, photographs, background information, but at least it's on the state site, and there's a lot of information
on the historical homes, and we just got that on there today, so.
All right. Anything else?
No.
Jeremy?
Just one comment. I understand that Lady is prepared to move forward with the ODOT County Facility Lady MOU. Looks like we have, we can talk about that. Okay, then I'll let Doug talk about it.
All right, we'll move on to council comments. Councilor McAfee?
Today I was in Salem meeting with our state legislators. Everybody was happy to see the high present. I got to mention about First of 97, about how it was a big concern. And we've been talking about it for a very long time. At the state level, the head department guy said that that he would talk to Bob Ryan and that it deserved, he felt that it deserved attention. And whether or not that's going to happen, I don't know. All of my then we met with Wisnet and Talbert, and we were both really happy to see what happened there. Again, they mentioned the meeting that I had talked about. And, DLT person that Richard Whitman that came to the meeting. So he was there, and I can thank him for coming down to La Pine and entering the that packed hall. So that was exciting. It was a good time going, and that's why I can't articulate too well. But kind of good.
Good plan. I'm glad you could go. Anything else?
That's it.
Councilor Brenner?
I have nothing.
Councilor Ward?
I attended the Liggy meeting a couple of days ago. For any of you that don't know what the Liggy group is, they're the group that's in charge of selling and managing the industrial park on behalf of the owners who are Deschutes County. The BioGreen plant will receive final approval on the 22nd of this month. They have purchased 20 acres adjacent to the railroad tracks for a purchase price of a cool $1.2 million, all of which goes to the County of Deschutes. Also, we will off track. The subway permit next to McDonald's has been approved by the County of Deschutes. The last thing is, Liggy has agreed to do the traffic study on Highway 97 on all four intersections from Finley Butte to where McDonald's is at First Street. They have agreed to pay up to $75,000 for that study.
$70,000.
Well, they said that they would kick it an extra $5,000. They said $70,000, but if it went over, they would go up to, but not to exceed $75,000. And the price was $70,000, but there was a little question about it might run a little more. So they agreed that they would go another $5,000 if they had to. Well, and we did this a couple days ago. And ODOT has agreed in principle to follow the recommendations of the traffic study, providing they can find funding. Don.
Dan. Well, they actually were requested to go to 75, but they did not agree to that. They changed the contract to stay 70 only.
Yeah, well, same thing. They're going to pay for it, let's put it that way.
But all I'm saying is the contract says 70. It's not right to go like that.
Yeah, right. That's all.
All right.
Just a clarification.
Sure. Yeah.
Question, clarification. So are they going to send me an email or a letter telling me?
Okay. Yes.
back around.
Yes.
Okay,
it's all going to come to you.
Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect.
I'm sorry I left that off.
Thank you.
I'm up.
Question. It sounds like a subway, but is there something else coming up about it that we may have to make a decision?
Not that the county representative brought out. No. There's a representative of the county planning commission there at every Liggy meeting, and she said that it was approved. And basically, when you say it's approved, that must be.
Brett, did you have a very quick comment on that?
If somebody's challenges that, it will come to you from your office.
I don't know.
It will come to you.
It does.
It will come to you guys.
The county has always told us that we are
right. It is also the final decision. Yeah. Other challenges in 30 days, something like that.
When I talked to the head of the planning commission about this a month or so ago, he went over the different rules. We are the last up to town. If somebody complains against our decision as a council, then there's another appeal step, and then there's a final appeal step after that.
It's
It can be drug on and on if we get
Well, we'll get there.
Thank you.
All right, Councilor Hedges.
I don't have anything. We all attended the DEQ meeting, which was great.
I appreciate the DEQ's participation.
Okay, well, thank you for that. And yes, I was going to comment on that my gosh, we were all Douglas. Yeah, we had four counselors at the DEQ's. There were a lot of people there. It was a good turnout. So anyway, on the DEQ's meetings for the meeting to for first steps in establishing a committee to take another look at the nitrates issue in the time. I lost what I was saying. we had four counselors there, so that was good to see. Anyway, they established a process for creating their committee, and they have a website that I didn't write down, but you can. Does anyone have that?
You go to DEQ, and the link to it.
I have a good feeling about it. I'm glad that DEQ was now taking the lead on this nitrates issue. It was very clear to me at that meeting that they're sincere about listening to the people who live and work in the communities and who have been here for a long time and understand what has been going on in our communities and so on. So I'm anxious to see what's going to happen there. The question also came up as to whether the city would have any role or any involvement on this committee, and left that kind of open. I thought we need to see whether the committee itself sees a need for input from the city. Join the committee at any time. I think they're looking at maybe a 14 to 16 member committee. So that was good. Also went to the water and sewer district meetings on Tuesday. They had a presentation from BioGreen that I don't even think I should comment on, because BioGreen changed a whole lot of the rules, the structure of what
they offered for their buy-in with the water district and the sewer district. And they're going to have a workshop on March 9th at 1 o'clock to work all this stuff out. That would be their regular meeting day, which now has been changed to the third Tuesday at 1 o'clock. So water and sewer districts are no longer meeting on the second Tuesday at 1 o'clock. It's the third Tuesday. And if I had anything else, I can't think of it now. Okay.
So we already asked. That's all.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. And so that's a good thing. Does the city see a need? Okay. This is about a nitrates issue. And the city gets sewer services from the sewer district. What I would like to see, oh, that was another thing I wanted to say. At the sewer district meeting, I suggested that they choose someone to be part of that committee, that the sewer district really should be represented on that committee. And so the question is that going to be enough, or do we also want a city representative on the nitrate study committee?
Eric asked for a city representation on the committee, and I think that's a good idea. And
that's one person who has asked us. I'm
curious for your planning commission to be one of the council people.
Okay, yeah.
Do they have to be the sewer? This is just a steering committee, so before we get into any kind of details or anything which will involve other groups, but the sewer districts are present in the South County. Right now we're talking about just going through and saying, okay, here's how we see the vision moving through local phases of looking at things. So right now it's not necessary the sewer guys be involved in it. But there are going to be times in the future when we're looking at the sewer districts for any kind of expansion as part of possibly the solutions. Like the Sun River feasibility study, which was never done to DRH. So there's no reason to have those guys involved necessarily right now. They will be involved in the future once we start laying out a framework. We have to lay out a framework before.
I would think that it would make sense to have the sewer district and DEQ is going to help, you know, work with citizens and to form the committee. So I'm not real sure that we need direct representation from the city.
Might not need to do the steering committee, but in the future we will.
Yeah.
That's more like a steering committee to try to get things started.
Yeah.
What makes sense? What does the DEQ want to see first? What are the citizens? You know, one of the real ideas are since a lot of us have studied this issue since the beginning.
Okay.
So, preliminary things.
So you kind of keep your feelers out and get back to us on that? Okay. All right. I have nothing else? Are we done then? Well, thank you, everyone. All you diehards that stuck it out so long. Appreciate that. At this point then, we'll call a motion to adjourn the meeting. It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Councilor Brown, yes. Councilor Ward, yes.
Councilor Hitchens, yes.
Mayor Shields, yes. Okay, meeting adjourned at 8:35 p.m. Thank you again, everybody.